Hello and welcome to our lesson as we continue in understanding the timeline. We are in Acts chapter 2. We left off in our last lesson. We were talking about baptism. And Peter's message in Acts chapter 2, he said they were to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Later in Matthew 28, concerning local church baptism, they were to be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Why the difference here? Well, Israel's baptism was something that was totally and completely different than local church baptism. Notice the order. Peter said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, and that's important, we'll discuss that later on in this series, in the name of Jesus Christ, why not the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, I didn't know that we had our sins remitted because we were baptized. That's not local church doctrine. And I received the Holy Spirit when I got saved, not when I got baptized. John's baptism, Mark 1 and 4, it says John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. This has absolutely nothing to do with local church doctrine. Now, Christ's message concerning remission of sins required blood, not water. Matthew 26:28. He said, for this is my blood of the New Testament, or the New Covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. He required blood for the remission of sins, his blood at Calvary. Now, we get a different answer for the same question in Acts 16. Paul was speaking to an individual concerning him trusting Christ as his personal Savior. Repentance was obvious in the life of the jailer, so all he had to do was believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul said, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. He did not tell them they needed to be baptized for the remission of sins, like Peter did in his message. Peter's message had a great response. We read in verse 41 of chapter 2, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now, we have seen that Peter was preaching to the nation of Israel, and only those Jews, telling the men of Judea about the promise of their kingdom. That's the word that he was preaching. Peter's word had to do with their king and their kingdom. In Acts 2:30, he said, Christ had been raised up to sit on his throne. So, referring to baptism, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41 again, we read, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now, three things took place here. 3,000 people received his word. About what? About the kingdom. As we have seen in detail, he was preaching only to Jews, and what he was preaching about was the kingdom. They received his message about the kingdom. Then we read they were baptized for the remission of sins. That has nothing to do with local church baptism. And then we read they were added unto them, added unto the local church. Well, if that's the case, then we better start preaching that we need to be baptized for the remission of sins. But it is not the case. When it says here that 3,000 people received his word, not talking about anybody getting saved, it is talking about the message that had to do with Israel and their acceptance of the Messiah. We'll see more of that as we go along. John 1 and 31 says that he, that is Christ, should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. That's what John the Baptist said. Now, understanding his baptism, Matthew 21:25, the baptism of John. Mark 1 and 4, the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Luke 3 and 3, the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Acts 13, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. Now, that's pretty plain. Acts 19:4, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance. Mark 11:30, the baptism of John. Luke 7:29, the baptism of John. Acts 1:22, the baptism of John. And Acts 18:25, the baptism of John. Acts 19:3, the baptism of John. Something totally different from local church baptism. In Luke 3:2, John came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Now, that's plain enough, but it has nothing to do with local church baptism. John's baptism is mentioned 10 times in the New Testament. Luke 3:7 says, the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him. It doesn't say they came forth to be saved. They came forth to be baptized. In Luke 3:12, we read, then came also publicans to be baptized. And in Mark 1:9, we read that Jesus was baptized of John in the River Jordan. Why? Well, we're told back here that he should be made manifest to Israel. That's why Jesus was baptized by John in the River Jordan. We'll give you some verses here about ceremonial washings, which was under the Old Testament times. In Leviticus 14:9, it talks about it. Leviticus 15:13. Leviticus 17 again. We have it in 16:24. Leviticus 16:28. Numbers 19:19. And Isaiah 1:16. We have these ceremonial washings. It's mentioned in the book of Hebrews, where we read, now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God, which stood only in meats and drinks and in divers or many washings and carnal ordinances imposed upon them until the time of Reformation. Now that word washings has been translated baptisms in Hebrews 6:12. The theme of Hebrews was that he was teaching these new converts that the end of the old covenant had come, these things were past. But notice it says here in Hebrews 9, it refers to many baptisms or many washings. And so there's 4 things that Peter's listeners continued to do in Acts 2. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Again, what were the apostles teaching? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Now, they continued in the doctrine that they were being taught. There's all kinds of doctrines in the Bible. We have the doctrines of every wind of doctrine. We have other doctrine, doctrine which is according to godliness, sound doctrine, the doctrine of baptisms, the doctrine of Balaam, the doctrine of devils. You got a lot of different doctrines, strange doctrines. So we have in Acts 2 the apostles' doctrines. That is referring to what the apostles were teaching in Acts 2. In 2 Timothy 3:10, Paul was talking about a different subject, and he called it my doctrine. In both cases, they were referring to what they were teaching at that particular time. Peter was teaching about the kingdom that was strictly for the nation of Israel. That was the apostles' doctrine in this message. He was not teaching anything about the local church in this message. He was teaching about the kingdom for Israel. What about eating meat? Eating meat at a communion service? It says here in Acts 2:46, they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house to eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Now, I've always been taught the breaking of bread. This is a first communion service, is it? Why were they eating meat? Paul received meat after he was converted in Acts 9. It says, and when he had received meat, he was strengthened. And then Paul and Silas were served meat by the Philippian jailer. It says he set meat before them. They ate meat on a ship in the middle of a big storm in Acts 27, where Paul besought them to take meat, saying they hadn't had anything for 14 days. In Acts 27, he went on to say, wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. They were all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. What about breaking of bread? Is that always a communion service? Well, when he fed the 5,000, he broke the loaves. And then in Matthew 15, they took the 7 loaves and fishes and gave thanks and broke them. Feeding the crowd in Mark chapter 6, we read that he prayed and he blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples. And then feeding the crowd in Mark chapter 8, we read Jesus took the 7 loaves, gave thanks, and broke them, and gave his disciples and set before them. What about the crowd in Luke chapter 9? We read here, once again, he took 5 loaves and 2 fishes, looking up to heaven, he blessed them and broke them, and gave them to his disciples before the multitude. Then there's that meal at Emmaus, where Jesus was with those 2 disciples, and he sat at meat with them, and took bread, and blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. None of these were communion services. In Acts chapter 2 and 46, they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They'd eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Eating meat has nothing to do with a communion service, and what we're talking about here in Acts chapter 2 and verse 46 has absolutely nothing to do with local church communion. Breaking bread in the second chapter of Acts was not a communion service in a local church. Singleness of heart. Now that's interesting. The Jews were not of one accord with Gentiles for many years. We've seen in a previous lesson that many years after Pentecost in Acts chapter 10, which is at the very minimum 7 years after Pentecost, Peter went in and he said to Cornelius, you know, it's not lawful for me to eat with you, you being a Gentile. And then in chapter 11, those apostles at Jerusalem were very upset with Peter because he had eaten with Cornelius, who was a Gentile. That was at least 7 years after Pentecost. So who was in one accord here? They would not be in one accord with the Gentiles back there in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 46. Not possible. Well, we'll leave it there for now. We'll continue in our next lesson here in trying to determine the timeline in Acts chapter 1, 2, well, in the early parts of the book of Acts. Be sure and be with us for our next lesson.